theoretically possible.
Why waste time?
But it doesn't make any sense.
Discovery, Houston, press to ATO.
3, 2, 1.
What's up, world? Hello, Quinn. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you, my love?
I'm very good. I'm very grateful to be able to chat with you. And today, you came up with a pretty exciting topic for discussion.
Yeah, I was really excited. I was listening to NPR.
Mm-hmm.
Love that NPR radio.
It's great news source.
Yeah, gotta support that public radio. But they had a report on the surge in entrepreneurship that's going on in the United States of America right now. So, yeah.
Well, first off, that's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
There's a surge going on in entrepreneurship during such a weird time, but it makes a lot of sense,
it
though.
It really does. And I think that's one of the things I really wanted to talk today about. Like, I love when we were talking about this, you said, you know, that why is now the time to really play the game of entrepreneurship?
Yep.
And these numbers, basically, it's interesting how they measured it. It was basically in September of last year,
mm-hmm.
they took a look at how many EIN, mm. new registered EINs.
Yeah, so those are basically the numbers for a new registered company, like a social security number, but
for
associated
business.
With a business.
Exactly, yes. And so it had surpassed 3.2 million, which was actually 500,000 more than last year at that
wow.
same time. So that's a lot of new businesses being filed for. So
did they say why?
Well, there were a lot of different reasons. And I think that the one that I think we can all kind of understand right now is, well, a lot of people are losing their jobs.
Yeah. When unemployment is high, you got to get some work from somewhere. So.
Exactly. And I think that it's really interesting right now how this is kind of changing everyone's psychology. Not everyone's, but some people's, obviously, over 500,000 people are attempting to start a new business.
Right.
You know, back in, 2008, 2009, after, you know, the recessions, you know, hit,
mm-hmm.
I remember when we graduated, undergrad was around that time,
mm-hmm.
and the job market was abysmal. It was awful. It was like everyone had just gotten fired. So when you were graduating, it was not a good time to enter the job market.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you and I were lucky enough to get jobs, but at that moment, I remember because I had a whole lineup of all these different jobs that I knew I could get after college, and they all just went away.
Poof,
gone. And so that moment was really a fascinating moment for me, at least, because that was the realization of like, wow, it doesn't matter how long you've worked at a company for, you could lose your job at any moment.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, there's no guarantees in life. It's kind of a harsh way of putting it, but it's true.
It's true. And so now flash forward to 2020. I mean, it's even worse right now. There are more unemployed than ever before, at least in our lifetime of trying to get employed.
Definitely.
And I think that similar thing is happening right now is the realization that a paycheck is not always guaranteed.
Mm-hmm.
And this is now a time to release yourself from having to work for someone, because no mm-hmm. matter what, if you're working for someone, your paycheck and your job is contingent on them continuing to hire you and being able to pay you.
Right.
So it's kind of in a weird way taking back some sort of control, mm-hmm. which sounds weird, especially when it comes to entrepreneurship, because everyone knows that there's a high probability of failure in entrepreneurship anyways.
Yep.
But at least the agency is in your control, mm-hmm. right? A little bit more than if you were just hoping to keep on working for a company, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's quite a silver lining, to say the least. And would you define this as necessity-driven entrepreneurship, where the individuals are becoming entrepreneurs out of necessity? They need to find work?
That is a really great question. And I would say, I mean, according to the report of NPR, that's kind of what they were suggesting,
mm-hmm.
that it is more of out of necessity because people have lost their jobs. They have no idea if their jobs are going to come back, especially in the restaurant and hospitality industry. You know, they mm-hmm. just don't know when or if.
Yeah.
So you're seeing a lot of people just kind of pivot, change, and try to, you know, take advantage of the new opportunities that have come, the new trends that have come out of, you know, a post-pandemic economy, essentially.
Because in general, the United States has relatively low necessity-driven entrepreneurs compared to other developing countries.
Exactly.
And so I could see how this year of 2020, and we're in 2021 right now, and it's still going on, can kind of inflame these opportunities for people to go and launch something.
Yeah, so true. And it is interesting to think about how that has... I didn't even think about necessity-driven entrepreneurship, because this is something that you and I obviously identified really quickly. When we first saw it, we didn't know what it was. But then obviously after you know, our PhD programs, yeah. we understood the, you know, academic term for what this mm-hmm. actually is. We saw necessity-driven entrepreneurship all over Nicaragua.
Yeah.
And
a lot of the people we worked with.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah. The artisans that we worked with Life Out of the Box, they were necessity-driven. There were no jobs. And it was really weird for us to understand when we were living in Central America why people thought that the best jobs you could ever get were with the government
mm-hmm.
because they were safe.
Yeah, and they feel most guaranteed.
Yeah.
Which makes sense to a degree.
It does, but that's not the type of economy that I really want to live in, you know, yeah. where you're just shooting for a job working for the government.
Yeah, like, that was weird. Yeah, I remember like some of our friends, they thought one of the top tier jobs was like being a police officer.
Yeah.
Which a police officer is a great job.
Amazing, yeah.
But they were viewing it as like even more valuable than a doctor because yeah. a police officer is a guarantee. To them, it was more guaranteed of a position long term.
Yeah.
With benefits and
exactly.
all that versus a doctor where, you know, if you have your own practice, there's ups and downs and
yeah.
depending on what's going on. So weird times.
Yeah, it is weird times, especially with necessity-driven entrepreneurship. It's not necessarily like you're seeing yourself as taking a risk in pursuing a new business. You're actually really seeing yourself as this is absolutely necessary for me to put food on the table.
Right.
And so it does change the way that you make decisions and whatnot. But I will say, you mm-hmm. know, we're all lucky to be in the United States of America, even though, you know, sometimes maybe it doesn't feel like, you know, we're in the best position right now, but
yeah.
really, you know, doing business in the United States should offer more opportunities for new startups. I hope so.
Right. Yeah. I hope so too. Why don't you tell the story that you heard from NPR
yeah.
about the creation of a new business?
Yeah. So there were these, it was really interesting. So there's these twins actually who were both, you know, they were chefs pretty much their whole life. They were really good cooks and they were working in a restaurant and the restaurant closed. And there was actually no sign of the restaurant
yeah.
being able to return. So they, you know,
yeah, you can't have a restaurant work right now if you're just holding on to that old business model.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And so they realized, okay, well, we can't sit around and just wait for our jobs that might not ever return. So, you know, we got to do something here. And so then one day they were craving crab. I think they're from Maine or something like that,
yeah.
where crab is, you know, abundant and they, mm-hmm. they love crab. And they were like, well, let's see if something can be delivered so we don't have to like go out and like go to the grocery store because we just don't really feel like going.
Yep.
And they found out that there was actually no delivery service for specifically steamed blue crab.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought that was really weird because there's an abundance of blue shell crab in their area, but
yeah.
they didn't understand why no one was delivering it. And so they were like, you know what, why don't we start a delivery business where we actually cook and deliver crab to individuals. So they just started off by, I mean, I think they did like a social media post somewhere, and then they started putting flyers around their neighborhood and started going door to door to some of their neighbors and stuff like that. And people were starting to order. And
mm-hmm.
And when they made their first order, someone ordered a dozen of them and they didn't know what the price was. They hadn't done the research yet. They didn't even realize, they didn't even think they were going to make a sale or anything like
mm-hmm.
that. So they kind of put a price right on the spot. But then afterwards, they ended up doing their research and
mm-hmm.
you know, looking at the competition, and they ended up undercutting a lot of the competition. They ended up, because of their connections in the restaurant business, they knew a few wholesalers that would be able to actually sell them some crab, and they were able to get it at the wholesale price. And now they're up and running. They're going for it. I mean, the season
yeah.
of crab is, I guess there's a seasonality of crabs. And so
mm-hmm.
it's now a lower season of it. So their sales have gone a little bit down. But once it picks back up, they're like, this is it.
They're prepared.
And they're
yeah.
prepared, and they're really excited and ready. And they're doing the damn thing. And
they definitely are.
I mean, they're doing some other side hustles on the side too.
Yeah,
but this
I think
is,
that was an important part of the story. Is this was more of a side gig to get some extra income.
Exactly.
So they do have another side job to cover their expenses, but I don't think it was a full-time job that they have, which gave them, and that might be because it's difficult times to find a full-time job.
Yeah. They're doing more contract work. So they would do like, you know, like commercials or do like design work or something like that on the side. And
so
great
time to capitalize on it.
I would say so. I mean, especially if you're willing to learn new skills or you have something that you maybe want to like, you know, really hone in on and
mm-hmm.
see if someone else would find that valuable and hire you to do one-off projects. I mean, get the money where you can, you know,
yeah.
and sometimes that's the best way forward. Initially, that's where a lot of entrepreneurs actually find themselves too. It's like, I have a business idea, I'm pursuing it, but I know I need some residual income on the side. So
yeah.
I got this, and this going on as well. And then eventually, if hopefully the business continues to run successfully and grow,
mm-hmm.
then you could start, you know, losing the side hustles on the side if you know, you want to spend more of your time actually just investing into the business. But
right.
really, really interesting story. And I think I couldn't agree more that now is the best time to experiment in entrepreneurship. I mean, why not?
Yeah, I like how you said experiment. I say play the game.
Yeah.
I mean, we're saying the same thing.
Pretty much.
Just try to make it a little more fun. Experiment is also emphasizing the idea of it's just a test. You know, you don't have to put all this pressure on yourself when you're going after
it. Yeah.
But I've been really fascinated by this new shift in food delivery and restaurants that's been going on since 2020 has kind of erupted. And as we all know, Uber has been making the majority of their money from Uber Eats versus actually shuttling people around now because we can't be going out that much.
Yeah.
And so with that big shift, it makes you rethink what is the required business model of a restaurant when the majority of your revenue cannot be from having in-house guests.
Right.
It has to be from either pickup or delivery. And with this big shift going on, this story connected with what I've been learning about with the idea of not necessarily having a full-on restaurant to be able to provide food and beverage goods to consumers all over the United States of America.
That's interesting.
And the first way that I was kind of exposed to it was, we've talked about him a lot, but he's an interesting fellow and he's like top YouTuber right now. It's Mr. Beast on YouTube. Mm. And he was able to open, it was over 300 restaurants throughout the whole United States of America really quick. I mean, we're talking like it probably less than a month, actually guaranteed less than a month, but he launched the video. And then within when that video launched, it was everywhere. I mean, everywhere, 300. It was more than the total amount that In-N-Out restaurants exist right now.
Wow.
Yeah. And this was what one would define as more of a pop-up restaurant. So it's not like he's actually like creating like a full-on restaurant, but he ensured that it was all branded right. And they offered the same products, which are all burgers. So it was Mr. Beast Burgers. And he put them all over the United States. And the way that he did it was by collaborating with commercial kitchens. And these commercial kitchens, a lot of them were owned by like Buca di Beppo.
You remember that Italian restaurant? Uh-huh.
So in this time, that restaurant is so dependent on people coming in. Large amount of people. So their platters of food are insane. That's what they're known for, is how big
portion,
they are.
Yeah.
Nowadays, you can't have that. So he kind of really helped them a lot by putting together this well-branded burger company for them to embrace their menu and then only offer it through delivery apps. I don't even know if you could pick it up. Maybe you could pick it up, but it was primarily for delivery. And they set it up to a T, and it was like, holy crap, you can do that in 2020, 2021. What I realized is that a few other celebrities have also been doing this as well. There's a famous rapper called Tyga. He's been doing fried chicken. Mariah Carey does cookies.
Wow, and, I didn't know that.
And when you're partnering with these commercial kitchens, which sometimes they're called like commercial kitchen laboratories, but when you're partnering with those where they're already meeting, you know, FDA regulations on everything and they're clean and stuff, you can take someone's brand and implement it within throughout the United States really quick. And a lot of them say like within 30 days, which is insane.
That's crazy.
I mean, In-N-Out was like, it took from 1966 to today to get to that number.
Yeah.
And though they're very different, but that's an insane thing that's going on.
Yeah.
And I really think that's a key to succeeding. We were first exposed to this when we went to South by Southwest and we ordered Chinese food.
Yeah.
And the place we ordered it from, it wasn't a restaurant. It was literally just a lab. They did in-house delivery.
Yeah.
But they, you know, you weren't doing it through Uber or anything, but it was so innovative at the time. That was just 2019.
Holy
crap. And it was so innovative. Now that's normal. And what I've heard is companies like DoorDash, they're actually embracing these kitchens where one kitchen is actually the same location for multiple restaurants.
Wow.
And so now you're getting multiple brands within one single location. This is super efficient.
Yep.
This is the way of the future. I saw in London they're doing it, and they're doing it with a lot of like regular shipping containers. And then they just set it all up where the shipping container becomes a kitchen. People come with their, the Uber deliveries come right there, boom, pick them up and they go. And it's like super, super futuristic. And I'm excited to see how this evolves. But that's a business that is here to stay.
For sure. I mean, just think about the overhead cost that you do not have to incur from doing that alone. I mean, it obviously makes sense right now more than ever, especially in this industry that we're talking about, which is food delivery and restaurants,
right?
That small businesses have the advantage, actually. You don't have to pivot.
Absolutely.
If you enter in right now, like the restaurant industry has been disrupted. It's already, it's happened.
Yeah,
so
they can't pay their normal rent when they're removing their income of in-house guests.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, the rent has to either go down or they got to make it smaller. I mean, they're only doing takeout and delivery.
It's so interesting. And the margins on delivery right now are so slim, too. I mean,
it's difficult with the apps.
With the apps, I mean, obviously, this has been an issue for a while that the restaurants like make almost no money when they're actually, you know, partnering with an app, with a food delivery system like Uber Eats or DoorDash.
Because now they're going to split it with the app and the delivery driver too.
Exactly. But even the apps, I mean, the name of the game is grow, because they're not making very much money, right? It's just about economy of scale.
Yep.
But I do think because there are so many different companies and big, small and big companies that are really getting into delivery out of necessity because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
But it's definitely going to accelerate forward. And I think that delivery is just going to be something that we come to expect with every single restaurant.
Absolutely.
And it's not going to take away, obviously, once this goes over, you know, the pandemic and whatnot, we're all going to still want to go out and eat and stuff like that. But I do think that the food delivery thing is going to be here to stay.
Right. Absolutely. I 100% agree. And there's a few other industries, and I want you to let me know, I'll present my ideas, but I want you to tell me what ideas you think the industries are going to be disrupted or like shift forevermore. Like not just after the vaccine's fully distributed, there's some that they're going to change, and they're going to change forever.
Yeah.
And we've lightly talked about one already, but I'll re-bring it up, which is the education. I think that there's going to be a lot more of learning at home. There's still going to, kids will still go to the classroom, but I think like the way that like homework's completed and utilizing computers and software at home to continue the learning process at home, that's going to for sure be a big game changer. And that doesn't mean that individuals who want to get into that have to be working on something really technologically advanced or aim for becoming a $1 billion company that's a unicorn. There's so many little things in between too.
So
we were talking to one of our friends at OU, and he's the head of the Center Creation Economic Wealth, and he told us one of the companies that they've given a grant to, all they did was set up a camera system and a software system so that the teacher can see what the children are writing down when they're doing like Zoom calls, which it sounds like so obvious and necessary. But at the same time, if you think about like when they just got thrown all, you know, when the kids got thrown into this and the teachers too, they just, you know, all you're doing is you're looking straight at their face. How do you show them the paper? They write it down and then they lift it up. You can't see how they were writing down the letters if they're learning, you know, at grade school and all that stuff. So that's a game changer technology, though it's extremely simple. It's not really technologically advanced. And I would say that's probably not a unicorn $1 billion business.
Right. That's really interesting, actually.
Yeah.
I think it makes you think,
right?
It really does. I mean, it's such a necessary thing right now, innovation and education. I mean, it's when you're reading, I read articles probably on a daily basis about the state of education, the educational system, higher and, you know, elementary through high school too. And what's really sad to me is because, you know, how we've handled this has been, you know, very hodgepodgey, right? And unfortunately, what has slipped through the cracks is education, right? Because we're so concerned about going out to bars in the summertime or, you know, being able to gather and here and there.
Yeah, yeah.
And we didn't really plan for how we were going to ensure that every kid is allowed to be educated at the highest level that we all, you know, hope and expect out of American school system,
right?
And so they're saying that, honestly, by June, I mean, kids will have actually lost 9 months of education.
Yeah, that's a sad prediction, but it makes sense.
Just like makes everyone who's in the educational system feel like they're almost like taking a step back in a grade, essentially.
Well, yeah, it makes
so
sense.
It's not just, you know, an opportunity for entrepreneurs to capitalize on. It's definitely an absolute necessity that more entrepreneurs enter that space and like make things easier for kids to get a real education, no matter where the heck they end up getting it, which I think is a good thing forward.
Yeah. It also kind of exposes rural education. You know, if you're in the middle of nowhere and your class is, you know, your whole high school grade class is 10 people.
Yeah.
That's kind of difficult to find, you know, teachers and getting a general ed level where it's like measured amongst the rest of the United States. That this can all be a game changer for those areas with this new technology, you know?
Totally. Well, and even in like low income, like inner city areas too, where schools are hugely over impacted by the population. And a lot of the kids don't actually have a computer at home to study with, you know, it's crazy.
That's so exciting technology that I'm looking forward to seeing more of, is where people get more access to the internet and hopefully get the, you know, technological tools to do so. I mean, laptops now, you can get them for $199.
Yeah.
I think that they're going to put it in more of a system where if you're a student in middle school, high school, et cetera, you get access to a laptop to bring home for an extended period of time.
Yeah,
you know,
for
some,
sure.
Some system in a way.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think, well, in terms of other industries that I think, or trends in industries that
I'm excited to hear
for
yours.
Sure. I think continue on moving on into the future. There are a couple. I mean, I think the obvious ones are definitely online shopping, right? Mm. Online shopping, I think, is here to stay. I think no one would disagree with that. But I think the way that it's going towards, it will be interesting to see how, you know, social media integration and retail kind of comes together for, you know, purchases to be to be made right away.
Yeah. You're talking like the Shopify world of things.
Yeah, exactly.
So like small businesses online, is that what you're
referring
to?
Small businesses online. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And people are actually not beholden to brands more than ever. They're basically seeking out, you know, new things. They want something different, you know.
It's actually cooler to not be branded.
It is kind of.
In some ways.
In some ways it is, for sure. I think another thing too is, there's going to need to be a lot more content for streaming.
That's
platforms.
The one that I was going to bring up.
That's going to be really interesting to see how that moves forward. Cause I think obviously we've, even though all of the streaming services say we have more things in the pipeline, I think that there's obviously been kind of like a freeze in the ability to actually create new shows and content and stuff like that. So I think that'll definitely emerge as something that is needed and wanted. And not just television, though, I would say in various different formats. I think from you'll see podcasting and all entertainment from TV shows, YouTube. I think the whole ecosystem of, you know, online internet media, like so a video on YouTube and then a podcast and then having something else on Netflix or something like that. That's like kind of the trifecta.
Dude, there's so much. This could be broken down into so many different categories. If we were just talking about the video and the streaming, think about how many different subscription options there are for streaming video
right
now.
Seriously, it's ridiculous.
I mean, I honestly think it would not be that difficult to get a $400 streaming bill if you subscribe to everything.
Absolutely.
And if you just went back maybe even 6 months, there was so few in the game.
There were. I mean, well, I think that they were really just a lot of stations, like, oh, let's say NBC, for example, now has Peacock, right? Yeah. They have their own thing.
And Discovery.
And Discovery.
But CBS.
All of these different companies were really tied to the TV world and cable. Mm-hmm. So dependent on, or thinking that they had to be dependent on, you know, the big cable bill that everyone would pay for.
They were grasping onto it.
I mean, the writing was on the wall actually a while ago. And like we've said, the pandemic has been an accelerant of things, you know, that were going to probably happen already, but now it's just moving things forward.
Yeah, it's funny. We thought Disney was late to the party, and now they look like they were way ahead of the party.
Man, their timing was impeccable.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I mean, that's basically the thing, the number one thing that Disney has been able to hold on to ensure that they're solvent, essentially.
Right. But with all these new streaming platforms, there's so many opportunities for creating content for video.
Yeah.
Just in it. Like if we're just saying video only, like it's so much more beyond just YouTube. If you're thinking about making a documentary or something, you want to do it independently. Everyone kind of goes like, oh, well, be a vlogger on YouTube. That's the way to do it. And nowadays, I think that we're going to see more opportunities for individuals who say, I have a really good, you know, story idea. And you can actually start talking to many different streaming options. It doesn't just have to be the big dogs like YouTube Originals, Netflix, and Hulu.
Yeah.
I think you could do it on a lower budget. And there's little tiny platforms such as, well, we had Quibi for a second, but
they were
taking like little guys, like just like, oh, this guy's a magician here. We'll do a little series with you. We'll sponsor it. And now there's like Curiosity Stream. They got like weird shows I've never even heard of.
Yeah, I love Curiosity
Stream. And the length of each show doesn't matter as much as it used to. We used to always think it needs to be 30 minutes or an hour. Why does it have to be that? Now you can make a show and it could be 15 minutes. It could be 10 minutes, as long as it's compelling and something that, you know, will get people's attention. I mean, that's all they're looking for. Then it could succeed. And therefore, that opens up a large amount of opportunity for those who are creating content specifically in the video arena.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Yeah, I think Red Bull was actually early on that.
Oh yeah,
for Red sure. Bull
for sure.
You know, like they had, I think it was on Roku or something, or maybe it was on Amazon Prime Fire Stick that we had, and they actually have their own app.
Yeah.
And you go through their app and they have just like 10, 15 minute films basically. Yeah.
It's like a channel.
Yeah, of people snowboarding, surfing, skating,
breakdancing, like culture. Sorts. They do
a lot of different cool stuff, but
I hope to see more products do that.
Yeah, me too.
You know, I think that's a great way of getting more content out there is when a product is focusing their marketing attentions on something like creating an online streaming channel.
That's a good point.
I'm not sure how successful Red Bull has been with that, but the more content, I think content is king.
Yeah, I agree.
We said that a long time ago, but
we did.
It still is the ruler right now.
It absolutely is more than ever probably now.
What about podcasting? I think that with the Joe Rogan contract, where Joe Rogan did an exclusive contract with Spotify, moving all of his podcasts away from Apple and all the other platforms to only be found on Spotify. What was it, like $100 million?
$100 million. I don't know. See, when I first heard that, I initially was like, well, I know that's a lot of money, but I was like, I know the power of Joe Rogan. I mean, he's making so much money on all these different platforms with all the different advertisements that he has and stuff like that in his podcast. He's a man who does a lot of different things, but specifically looking at his podcasting world.
Right.
I mean, he was one of the original podcasters before he even became a thing.
Definitely.
And so, I mean, to me, I thought, well, okay, that's a big risk. It's cool that he did it, but he also, in an interesting way, he actually forced Spotify to innovate themselves because he was like, look, one of the biggest revenue streams that I have is video. So you guys got to get on the video if you guys really want me to sign this deal. So yeah,
they had a little video, but now it was like, we really need to get on this because that is such a core aspect of Joe Rogan's show.
It is. But I think the podcasting realm is going to be really interesting to see what happens. I mean, Twitter just bought a company, basically just like an acquisition because it was going bankrupt anyways. And they're going to try to create Twitter Spaces, which is basically like audio format in Twitter. And I don't really know how that really fits in with Twitter because I don't really want to hear people yelling if it's like what it's like, you know, scrolling through the Twitter feed sometimes. But I think it's interesting that obviously a lot of companies are kind of turning towards podcasting because obviously the advertising revenue potential and the ROI of those ads is actually, you know, greater than pretty much any other media right now.
Yeah, it's so different because when you think about proper documentaries or shows that are made independently or even music made independently, they're usually signed to a single streaming or company.
Yeah, you know, like a label.
Yeah, so like, you know, a lot of shows are with Netflix and you can only watch them on Netflix. Mm. With music, they're signed to Universal and everything has to go through Universal.
Right.
Nowadays, with podcasting, you could be everywhere and anywhere. I mean, we're on so many different stations and this is an opportunity for people to sign more exclusives. And with more exclusives comes an increase in their value. When Joe Rogan signed with Spotify, though they paid $100 million, it jumped their company's worth over $1 billion just once they made that announcement.
Yeah.
And if the company's able to make that much more value for their investors just by signing an exclusive, I think we're going to see that more and more often. So it will be exciting.
I think it's a really exciting world that we have ahead of us. And there's no better time, like we said, to start playing the game in entrepreneurship. Yeah. There are so many disruptions.
We only talked about a few opportunities, but I think there's plenty of other industries, plenty of businesses, and I'm excited to see what comes out of it.
Yeah, just go for it. See the opportunity and just take it because you could do it. You know,
Absolutely.
Mean, the story of those two girls, I mean, they just got $400 from their family as their seed money and that's all they needed.
You do not. Steamed crab.
And they're doing it, you know? I mean, really, whatever you got to do, do that. And, you know, just take control of your own destiny if you're feeling, you know, a little bit like, I don't really know when my job's going to come back, if it's ever going to come back. You know, there's opportunity out there for you to
go for it. Swing for the fences, my friend. We hope you will have a wonderful day. Thanks for listening. Talk to you later.
Bye. Bye.
You're having a enjoyed this journey through sound.